Probably for the last time in a while, I ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And as you find that, dear friends, know this, that we are going to be concluding our study on the armor of God today by finishing our little brief mini-series on prayer. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin with verse 10 because we're going to read through the armor again as we come to its conclusion. We start with verse 10. Scripture tells us to finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm going to pray this even right now, that as we read through this, that the things that you've been shown and that we've been discussing and that we've prayed about over these last several months would not only come to mind, but that they would solidify in your heart. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? I pray that these things would just be brought to you, especially the things that you need. So, brethren, be strong. How? In the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, as we head into verse 18 and following, we've already covered a lot about prayer. I pray that you've been with us. If not, you can go back and I pray that you will listen to or watch those sermons online. You can listen to them audibly. You can watch them by video. But we have established a number of really important things about prayer. So I'm going to be brief since you're standing before we get to our verse 18. But we've established a number of things about prayer. Run through them with me. We've learned that victory over Satan and Satan's hosts involves a commitment to prayer. Amen? That prayer is our spiritual breath. It's the spiritual air that we breathe. And when a believer does not pray, they're holding their breath spiritually. Three, there are only two alternatives when it comes to spiritual battle. Faint and give up, or pray. There's no alternatives. If you don't pray, you're going to faint. Four, prayer brings God's spiritual rain to our seeds of faith. Amen? Five, we are to pray because it is our key to spiritual battle. Six, prayer is the catalyst to implement God's resources in your life. You want God's resources? Pray. Seven, the purpose of prayer is to draw you into the presence of God for two things, communication and fellowship. Eight, persistent, faithful prayers make a difference. Nine, there are a lot of different ways to pray. Don't limit yourself. Amen? Don't limit God. Ten, prayer is our connection to God. And without God, we can do nothing. Now, as we've gotten to this point, we see that Paul gives us some guidelines for prayer. Look at verse 18 with me. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Our conclusion on prayer, and to the armor, would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. We ask for its blessings to be upon our life because we apply it to our walk. God, we are thankful that you give us so many resources. Help us, Lord, to apply them to our life in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We learn here, as we've been learning the last couple of weeks, that we are to pray for specifics. That's what supplication means. In verse 18, he says, with all prayer and supplication, pray in the Spirit. And that's what supplication means. It means pray specifically. When God answers prayer, John chapter 14, verse 13 tells us that we are giving him glory. That when God shows himself, he's glorified. So when we pray specifically, God has an opportunity to be glorified in our life. If we don't pray specifically, he can't display himself. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, let me put it this way. If it is much too general for us to pray and say, God bless the world, it's even too general to say, God bless the USA. We need to be specific. We never know when God is working somewhere else. We know when he's working in our life and in the people around us. So we need to pray for specifics, and God will answer specifically. And when he does, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to fill our purpose. We are supposed to fulfill our purpose in God. And what's your purpose in God? To glorify him. One more time. What's your purpose in God? To glorify him. So even in prayer, we're to be glorifying God. So pray for specifics. Secondly, we're to be watchful. Look at verse 18 again. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Being watchful. Now, being watchful involves being alert to the issues. Now, what does that mean? He tells us that again. Jesus said, watch and pray. He said in Mark 14, 38, and in 1 Peter 4, 7, Jesus said, watch and pray. What does that mean? It means you need to know what's going on around you. You can't be like an ostrich with our heads in the sand and be able to pray for the thing that's going on around us. We need to know what's happening. We need to watch to see what's going on and pray. Our part of always being in prayer, remember, we're always to be in prayer, and our part of that is to be watchful as we live daily life. And as we live daily life, we're to be praying for the things going on, watching to see what God is doing and what we need to pray for. We're always to be praying about what we see going on around us. So when do we stop praying? I don't know that we'll stop praying ever, except that we'll be able, because isn't prayer talking to God? Hello? Prayer is talking to God. Do you think prayer is ever going to end? Listen, aren't you looking forward to being with the Lord in heaven? So prayer is just going to continue on a conversational level with the Lord our God. Your prayers will never stop. You will be praying throughout eternity. We also not only need to be watching to see what's going on around us, we need to be watchful after we pray. Be watchful. When you pray, don't just go into la-la land. Don't just drift off. Listen, after you pray, you need to be watching to see what God is going to do. Didn't we not say that prayer opens spiritual opportunity? And when you pray and you're seeking God, you need to watch to see what God's going to do. After you talk to God, watch to see what he's going to do about your request. And then when you see what God is doing, you're to adjust your life to what God's doing and join him in what he's doing. Every one of us is on mission. You say, wait a minute, me too? Yes, I'm saying especially you. If you didn't know that God had you on mission, I'm especially talking to you this morning. God says that we should seek Him and His will. So as we pray, God begins to work around us, and the reason that He works around us is He has an agent in that territory that He wants to implement into the action. A soldier, if you will. One who's suited with the armor of God, ready to serve. And so God says, all right, I've got a soldier in the field, ready to go. And that soldier just said, Lord, help me. Lord, use me. And so he tries, and then that soldier is asleep. Watch to see what's going on after you pray. Now, watchful, does it not seem to have a connotation of not looking inward, but looking outward? So look at verse 18 through 20 again with me, because Christ tells us through Paul that we are to be praying for other people. Verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for who? All the saints. And then he says, and for me. And what does he ask them to do? He said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So notice what he says here. He doesn't say that we're to pray for ourselves. Now listen, there are many places that says that we need to pray about things. And yes, we have needs. All of us have needs. Yes, we're to pray about our sin. Yes, we're to pray about our needs. But our prayer time is not to be concentrated on ourselves. I wonder if we really began to put a clock on our time in prayer, if it would amount to much. And then even with that, how much of it is about self rather than others. Our prayer time is not to be concentrated on ourselves. Paul told us to pray always for all the saints. Now, what does he mean by that? You say, I don't know any saints. Listen, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. We are the saints of God. When we belong to God, we are His saints. So he's talking about praying for each other. He's talking about praying for the church. He's talking about praying for your pastor. He's talking about praying for your kids. He's talking about praying for your parents. He's talking about praying for your neighbors. He's talking about praying for all others. So believe me, you've got plenty to pray about. As we come to the Lord in prayer, we realize that we are responsible before God to pray for each other. When we pray hard, it makes a difference. And I'm going to tell you, we really do seem to pray hard when we know that we have a friend or a loved one that has come into some type of disaster or difficulty. But I'm going to tell you, maybe a little preventative prayer before it ever happened would have made all the difference in the world. Are you praying for others? I got to tell you, when I was a very young father, I mean, my first one was still an infant, and I remember hearing my wife pray over Dustin and praying for his future wife, and I thought, that's a good idea. We're still praying for her. You pray for her too. We want him to find her. He's going to watch this one day and go, Dad. But we pray, and we pray for the future. And I will never forget my wife as a young mother praying for the future of her boys. We're responsible to pray for each other. I am to commit myself in prayer for you, for other people. Watching to see the needs of those that are around me, and then spending my time praying for you, praying for others. And that's your job as well. We're not supposed to concentrate on self. We're supposed to concentrate on others. Now, let me ask you, do you know what really kills what absolutely slaughters the watchful prayer perspective? Selfishness. Praying for yourself. Praying all about your needs. It's so easy, is it not, to shed tears over our own troubles? To share tears over our own needs? But let me ask you, have you ever lost yourself in the needs of others like Paul did? In Acts chapter 20, go back and read there where it says, Paul told them, he says, I do not cease to warn all of you about the spiritual needs night and day, praying for you night and day with tears. Have you ever prayed for anyone like that and prayed for someone night and day? Have you prayed for them night and day with tears? No? If you haven't, doesn't that just show our self-centeredness in prayer? When all we do is pray for us and ours? Isn't it true that we are 10 times more intense about our own problems than about other people's problems? Let me ask you, do you know the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? Major's when it's on me and minor's when it's on you. Right? Is that how we treat major, minor? Listen, folks, we need to be remembering that we are responsible to pray for other believers and others who need to become believers. Now, why is a watchful perspective in prayer so important? First of all, because selfishness kills the proper attitude of prayer. Because we're to be praying for others. And we should not wait for our own trouble to start praying. We need to start praying now for other people. If you don't have any problems in your life, how about going to the Father and saying, God, thank you that all is well. How can I spend more time praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Pray now for others. The next step, friends, that we need to look at is this. We need to get past the physical, and we need to pray for the spiritual needs. It's more important for us to pray for spiritual needs than it is for physical needs. We pray for people's hearts. We pray for people's livers. We pray for people's backs. Folks, you know what we call that on Wednesday night prayer meeting? Organ recital. We pray for everybody's organs. We pray for rheumatism and we pray for surgeries. But you know what we really need to pray for? And yes, it's okay to pray for those needs, but those needs need to be at the bottom of our list. Are you with me? Those things need to be at the bottom of our prayer list. But we need to be concerned more about the spiritual. The spiritual matters. Are the believers that we're praying for winning the spiritual battle? Do they need prayer for their arms to be held up? Do we need to be an Aaron and Hur for a Moses out there somewhere so that the people of God will continue to win the battle? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to read the Old Testament. There is so many more important things than the physical needs. Do you even know the spiritual needs around you? Do you pray for them as the people around you fight the battle? We need to be praying that they could see God at work in their life. Amen? How many times has God been at work in your life and you missed it? You missed the opportunity that God put right in front of you because your eyes were cloudy with the world. Somebody needed to be praying for you. Somebody needed to be praying for your clarity. Somebody needed to be praying for your heart that it would be obedient, that if you did see it, you would say, Lord, I see you, and I'm going to adjust what I have going on, and I'm going to join you in what you're doing. We need to be praying for other people. We need to pray that they would see God at work, and then we should be praying for the advancement of God's kingdom in their life. Are you praying for God's kingdom to be advanced in your own life and in the life of other people? This is a spiritual war. This is not just a war. This is a spiritual war. Shall I remind you of what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Does that sound like we need to be praying for our feet and our hands and our back and our mind? Yes, it does, except it's to be that my feet would be obedient to the path of Christ, that my hands would be used to minister in Jesus' name, that my back would stand firm as I am called upon to give the word of God, that my mind would go to the things of the Lord, and when it doesn't, that I would say, God, help me. Amen? When Paul had a problem, he didn't say, just pray for me. I love this. It's not easy to fight the battle. And it's not wrong to pray for the physical. And I'm sure that Paul did. Did he not say that he had a thorn in his flesh? And he asked for it to be removed, but that's not where he spent all of his time. It says he prayed three times and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Paul learned. It's not wrong to pray for the physical, but it's more important that we pray that God will give a spiritual victory and not just a physical victory. Amen? We should care more for the glory of God than we should for our own physical worries. Look at verse 19 again and 20. And he said, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He is an ambassador how? Say it again. He is an ambassador how? What does that mean, people? Paul is in prison. Paul is imprisoned, and he is chained up. Because he was a messenger for God. When Paul had a problem, he didn't just say, pray for me. And he didn't say, nowhere in here does he say this. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. But he didn't say, pray for me because I'm in jail. I've got a hard time, folks. Pray for me. They're keeping me here. The food is awful. These chains are rubbing me raw. The guards are mean. Is that what he asked us to pray about? No. He said, I pray that you would pray for me, that God's words would be given to me in clarity and in boldness. In other words, pray that I would be a good representative of Christ. In other words, you know what he said? He said, when Satan tempts me to be quiet, pray I'll speak up. And when Satan tempts me to speak up, pray I'll be quiet. Sometimes they're both just as important. Amen. Pray that I win the battle and share the gospel of Jesus. Like Paul, dear friends, we should care more about gaining a spiritual victory than we are about what happens to our physical bodies. We've talked about a lot of important stuff here. But you know, we still haven't even gotten to the most prevalent thought in verse 18. Look at it again. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now it says that we are to pray in the Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you what this does not mean. This has absolutely nothing with praying in tongues. That's not what this means. It means that we are to pray in the heart and in the Spirit and in the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Praying in the Holy Spirit is the same as praying in the name of Jesus. And we have been told that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, it will be given to us. The problem is that just by tagging on the little phrase, in Jesus' name, doesn't mean that you've been praying in Christ. We pray all these selfish prayers and then go, in Jesus' name. And it is a contradiction to our very prayer sometimes. We've got to pray in the Spirit. which literally means that we are praying in a manner consistent with what Jesus Christ himself would pray. That we would pray what his will is and not what Gary's will is. We've got to learn to pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard people sing and they're singing so off key and they're singing the wrong words and they're not matching up with the people around them? Does that enhance the music? Absolutely not. We've got to learn to pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Our prayers should be a duet with the Holy Spirit, the one who intercedes for us. In other words, we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is already praying and join him where he is. Listen to the scripture from Romans chapter 8. I want to share this with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." Ever been there? "But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Oh man, we need to spend a whole sermon on this sometime. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." In other words, he says, match yourself up with the Holy Spirit. Crawl into the lap of the Holy Spirit and say, "Spirit, pray for me." And not for me, but pray for me. Does that make sense? In other words, not pray about me, but Lord, Holy Spirit, would you voice the prayer for me to God the Father as my intercessor. What does that mean? It means that while we're living and while we are daily battling in Christian life, the Holy Spirit that lives within you is praying for you. Did you know that somebody was praying for you every moment of every day? The Holy Spirit is praying for you, praying that your heart would yield to God's direction, that your heart would be Christ's heart. He's talking with the Father as your intercessor. And listen to this, when the Holy Spirit prays, he always prays the right thing. Amen. The Holy Spirit always prays the right thing. And because he does, he always receives and hears the right answer from God the Father. Have you always wondered, said, "Man, I wish I could always pray the right prayer and that I could always hear from the Father and I always got the answer that I needed"? Listen, here's the answer. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. That's why after verse 26 and 27, we have a verse that we know so well. It's just that we forget verse 26 and 27 because Romans 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that all things," say it with me, you know this, "and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We love that verse. And we absolutely lose its purpose because we don't read 26 and 27. The timing of this verse is no accident. We know all things work together for the good of those who love the God because the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness to pray. For we do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, when you can't even begin to say, "God, I don't even know what I need," the Holy Spirit says, "Father, this is what he needs. Give him this." I hope and pray Romans 8:28 takes a whole new meaning on for you today. Oh, how we love that verse. Praying in the Spirit is really very simple. It's very simple. It is making our prayers consistent with the mind and the will of the Lord our God. That's the goal of our prayer life. That's the goal, that we pray in the Spirit. And that's what verse 18 tells us, pray in the Spirit. How can we begin to do that? First of all, we ask for and allow our life to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me. Lord, use me. Secondly, when He does, we yield to His leadership and we listen to God. And when we do, God, through the Holy Spirit, will govern your thoughts so that your prayers will be in harmony with Him. Third thing is, perhaps we should never, ever begin a prayer that we don't start with, Lord, what do you want me to pray first? Lord, how do you want me to seek you? And then when we do that, we can actually join the prayers of the Holy Spirit to God. And we're singing in harmony along with the Holy Spirit instead of against Him. That, my friends, is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. God's desire is that our lives would be a literally day-to-day, moment-to-moment communion with Him. Praying always, walking with Him, and talking with Him. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. You know this part? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Paul himself is the illustration of this process. In verse 19 he says, pray for all the saints and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He's a prisoner in Rome, we know that. But his enemy wasn't the soldiers, amen? What did verse 12 say? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the principalities of darkness. His enemy wasn't the soldier. His enemy is Satan. And Satan did not want God's word to be shared. Satan did not want Paul to share boldly the word of God. That's why Paul didn't ask for his physical needs to be met. He wanted and needed the prayers for his spiritual battle. He said, pray that my spiritual battle would be won. That he would be bold, that he would be courageous, that he would be clear in his speech. Paul knew that prayer was the key. He knew that it was the catalyst to spiritual warfare. We are to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are each crucial. And then the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, carry the sword of the Spirit. Those are all vital. But dear friends, never forget that it is prayer that holds all the armor together. Overall, you need prayer. It's prayer that empowers each piece of the armor. And it's prayer that guides the soldier that is within the armor. Amen? Soldiers, armor is useless unless it's on a soldier. The soldier needs the guidance. That guidance comes from prayer. Pray with me. Father, we are so thankful for your word. Thank you, God, that it is so clear to us that we not only need the armor, but we need the prayer. Help us, Father, to seek you night and day, hour to hour, moment to moment. For, Father, without you, we cannot do anything of spiritual value. Strengthen us to walk with you, to talk with you. For Father, you are our strength, and our connection to you is prayer.